Mind moving fast is crazy. Mind moving slow is saint. Mind stopped is God. This is a powerful quote that I came across. And every spiritual tradition, every religion, and every technique on mindfulness mentions meditation and calming the mind at some level. So today we will understand meditation for what it is, and we will understand what meditation can do for you in just 30 days if you spare 10 minutes a day. Did you know that your brain waves actually slow down during meditation, opening a doorway between your conscious and the subconscious mind? This phenomenon, which is documented by neuroscientists, allows you to move beyond the analytical thinking, which is represented by beta waves, into more relaxed alpha, theta, and delta states. So let's see what can happen for us in the next 30 days. The implications of all this can be really profound, and we can actually begin to live a different life altogether with the help of meditation. Meditation can transform the mental landscape while physically rewiring the neural pathways. All of this might have been proved now, but the Vedantic wisdom talked about this thousands of years ago, before modern brain scanning technology could confirm. Most of us are stuck in an eternal mental chatter. Our mind never rests, not even during sleep. Have you observed this? Even when we sleep and close our eyes, our mind, thoughts, conclusions, you know, imagination, these things keep on going. They never stop. This is why there is mental instability. This is why there is mental health issues in the world. We don't know how to take control of the mind. We don't know how to tame the mind. And meditation is a tool that can help us achieve this. In Vedanta, this identification with our mental state along with the ego is the reason for us to experience Maya. It's the reason why we experience this illusion of duality, separation, because of which we suffer. Now, the answer to this is to go beyond the ego and recognize our true nature. And in this regard, calming our mind and bringing our mind to a certain level of stillness can help us to eventually go beyond the mind. Apart from this, our internal state has a profound connection with the external reality. As per Advaita Vedanta, it's all one reality. There is no internal and external. This shows that everything is connected. And how we keep our mind and how we keep our state of being is directly linked to the kind of reality that we experience. In terms of our health, wealth, relationships, and inner peace, our mental state has a lot to contribute in terms of what we experience from this life. So it's very important for us to take charge of this. So let's begin to uncover this journey of 30 days and how it can help you and how you should approach this. At first, in the beginning, each and every one of us will have resistance. Our mind will stop us from sitting in stillness and meditating. Suddenly, as you sit in meditation, you will remember urgent emails, you feel itchy, you will feel hungry, you know, you will hear a sound here and there. Somehow, somewhere, there is always distraction. Now, this doesn't suggest that you are not fit to meditate or meditation is not compatible with you. This is something that everyone goes through. When we try to still the mind and when we try to sit and meditate, all these resistances and all these things come into the mind. Initially, the mind will not allow itself to be still, but we need to push through this resistance. We just simply have to sit and close our eyes. And neuroscience confirms what the ancient tradition knew. Consistent meditation physically rewires the neural pathways. Daily practice for just 10 minutes initiates subtle changes that accumulate over time, gradually altering how your brain processes information and responds to stimuli. And the most important shift will happen beneath the conscious level. Most of us, when we think of meditation and when we sit for meditation, we expect to experience something miraculous, something, you know, mind-bending, like a glimpse at something, like channeling and so on. All of these concepts have actually ruined the original essence of meditation. What actually happens is very simple and it is very evident. Real transformation is subtle. What you will begin to notice is that as you begin to meditate every single day, you will begin to pause before reacting. What was an unconscious pattern will become conscious. You will experience momentary spaciousness amid mental activity. There is also a concept of mental hygiene. You know, just like how we brush our teeth every single day, it is important to meditate because it creates a gap between our awareness and the mental process. And not only this, it sort of cleanses the mind. When we practice meditation every single day, it clears out the mental tension and that gap that is created between us as the awareness and the thought process is very crucial. It is the seed for real transformation and it will eventually bring the mind in order and will help us achieve fulfillment and clarity. After around 7 to 10 days of consistent practice, some people begin to notice some changes in their life. A quality of witnessing emerges, creating a gap between our negative patterns, negative thought patterns, emotions, etc. And instead of being involved and submerged in thoughts, we will see how we are separate from our thoughts, even though momentarily at first. And this is really significant. For most of the people, reaction is unconscious, but meditation creates a space between stimulus and response, where once you reacted automatically, meditation cultivates the capacity to pause, creating a moment of choice rather than compulsion. And this is the secret to true freedom. Now let's come to stage two, where we have crossed the threshold, where we have persisted and gone beyond the resistance. And let's see what will happen in 10 to 20 days if we keep meditating. You know, after around 15-day mark, many seekers see something very significant. That eternal battle between our thoughts and our awareness, where we feel stress, anxiety and burnout, that begins to diminish, that begins to reduce. And that gap, you know, that gap that was initially created between thoughts and our awareness, it sort of widens to give us a higher perspective of what mind actually is and what thoughts are. They are simply fluctuations in the mind. They are not who we are. We are beyond the thoughts. This becomes more and more obvious to us. And this witness that I talked about is called Sakshi Bhava in Vedanta. This is the witness consciousness. Vedanta says at the ultimate level, this is who we are. We are not the body, we are not the mind, but we are this witness consciousness. And as we go through this journey of meditation, this truth of Vedanta will become more and more evident. It will become more and more obvious. You will find yourself watching the mental activity as if observing clouds passing across the sky of your awareness. And the neurological basis for this is well documented. Brain scans reveal that after approximately 2 weeks of consistent meditation, activity in the default mode network, DMN, begins to measurably decrease. The quietening of the DMN translates to everyday benefits, such as making clearer decisions during stressful meetings or responding thoughtfully rather than reactively to challenging family situations. Some spiritual teachers like Eckhart Tolle call this presence, call this witness consciousness as presence, because this consciousness, this witness becomes accessible to us only in the present moment, because time as we know it as per Vedanta is an illusion. Future is a concept, past is memory, present is the only thing that truly exists. And this presence is the gateway to true fulfillment and freedom, which we can access more and more through meditation. Harvard scientists have documented these changes through measurement of brain structure. Their research reveals increases in gray matter density in areas associated with self-awareness, compassion, and introspection. Some regions linked to emotional regulation and memory show particular growth, suggesting that meditation actually reconstructs the physical architecture of your brain. Now let's come to the final stage of what can happen in 20 to 30 days when we consistently meditate. And have you thought of why these ancient traditions, whether it is Vedanta, whether it is Christianity, talk about 28 days or 40 days or 30 days as a time frame to practice something? There is a profound reason to this. These time frames are called as mandalas in ancient India. This is the amount of time that it takes for something to integrate. This is the integration process. When we practice something consistently for 30 days or 48 days, it becomes a part of our identity. It becomes a part of us. And only then can we see true change. And this is why most people give up. We just try something for 3 days, 4 days, or a week, and then we give up because we do not see any profound results. But in reality, true transformation takes time. We are trying to go beyond conditioning and the conditioned thought process that we are living for decades and centuries and even thousands of years because of, karma and because of rebirths. So meditation takes time, but the results are quite obvious. As you enter days 21 to 30, you're crossing into territory where all the previous efforts converge. This final phase transforms your earlier gains. The mind awareness gap that formed in earlier stages now widens into a stable platform of witnessing consciousness from which you can engage life with unprecedented clarity. And again, during these stages, some more challenges might come up. When we become more and more self-aware, the deeper layers of conditioning begin to open up and we might see some more resistance and some more conflict between the mind and the awareness. But again, we simply need to persist. We need not fight the mind. We just need to be aware and we need to be witnessing of the mind. And navigating these fluctuations with patience becomes essential for sustaining this practice. The David Hawkins map of consciousness offers a framework that calibrates consciousness from lower states like shame and fear to higher states like acceptance and love. Regular meditation naturally elevates your baseline state, your bhava, moving you from reactive states to more expansive ones. This inevitably leads to tangible changes in physical and emotional well-being. And by day 30, these changes transform your relationship with challenging circumstances. Life's difficulties don't disappear, but your capacity to remain present amid these situations will dramatically improve. And as we looked at the Hawkins consciousness map, emotions that once seemed overwhelming begin losing their grip. Not because you're suppressing them, but you're experiencing them from a different level of awareness or consciousness. So as Vedanta says, consciousness is all there is. This consciousness is described as Sat-Chit Ananda, existence, consciousness and bliss. So Ananda is the natural outcome for us when we tap into this nature. Meditation helps us do this more and more. In reality, Vedanta says that this is all there is. This is the ultimate goal for us. Ultimate goal for anyone is to experience absolute fulfillment permanently and get rid of suffering permanently. This can happen if we recognize this consciousness, the witnessing consciousness that we are. This can happen if we go beyond the body and mind. And meditation is the gateway for this. So when we quiet the mental turbulence, we access our fundamental nature as awareness itself. This conscious presence waits to be uncovered, not constructed. And I hope this helped you, it gave you some perspective.